Hello, everyone. My name is Devin Rue. I'm a professional fantasy cartographer and illustrator in the tabletop RPG industry, as well as your host for the Quip and Quill podcast.
I'm Caio Santos. I am an artist based in Brazil. You might know me from Twitter at Black Salander. You also might know me from the early days and most of Critical Role's runtime. Did a lot of fan art for them and eventually ended up working a bit for them and got into a lot of TTRPG art. And now I am mostly working for myself, doing personal work and a little bit of gigs here and there.
What is your most popular Critical Role piece?
By numbers, it might be some other, but one that I will always point to, and that is my pride and joy, is the Vaxodan piece with him like tied by like the strands of fate, with his wings and stuff. That one was, I think, was like the one that like really got me noticed and like got noticed from the cast as well. The one that they picked to show in their one live gallery that they did.
Oh, right. I forgot.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the one that I always like come back to.
And you came for that gallery, didn't you?
I did. Yeah.
What was that like?
That was pretty amazing. yeah. When they called me first, I was like, no way, because like I was just starting out, like I had no money, I had like nothing. Right. I was like, oh my god, like this would be so cool to do, but like I don't know if I could go. And then someone ended up helping me go, and I'm like, I'm really, really glad, because like not only like it was cool to like meet the cast and stuff, but I met a lot of other artists that were like in the same scene as me at the time,
right?
And it's people that like I've made like great friends with, and I like still talk to them today. We had a great time. I think everyone there has a lot of fond memories of that one trip. It was also like I had gone like traveled abroad once, but it was like in other circumstances. Like this was the first time that I went, and like I had a little bit of time to like enjoy the place and stuff. It was pretty good. I still keep like some of the photos that we took. I just printed them and I put them on my room because I like just remembering that time.
That is amazing. Yeah, I almost made it to the show, but unfortunately had a bad flare up and didn't make it there. But so I would have been able to meet you in person. God damn it.
Yes. That's the thing. Like, we all, like, were like, are they going to do more of these? Because, like, we want to come back. But we ended up not. I think the Kickstarter happened and they kind of had to, like, change plans real fast.
Yeah.
Like, public stuff. Because, like, the gallery was cool, but it was, like, just a small event, right? It's, like, few people. And even then, like, the place got like real full real fast,
right?
And then it kind of blew up and I was like, oh, that might not be happening again.
I know that they want to, like, having talked to several of them in the cast, I know that they all really love live events and everything. It's just so hard to coordinate everything.
Yeah, and they're just so big now that it's like hard to do anything small,
right?
Unless you do like a private event.
It's got to be really hard for them to want to do a private event, because I do know that they never want to upset any of the fans. And they're always like, no, we'll try and make it as open and fair as possible. So it's like, how do you do that with a private event? You know, but
yeah. I usually refer to like the period where, like, because I think it really blew up after the second campaign, like Kickstarter.
Yes.
That's when like a lot of people got notice of them. Mm-hmm. I like to call it like it was a community before and it became like a proper fandom.
Yeah.
Like you just can't treat both of those like the same way.
Yeah, no. No. There's pre and post Kickstarter.
Yeah. It's like I remember the exact day, cuz like I was following that thing like close.
Oh yeah, so was I.
That was wild.
It was the most, probably one of the most surreal moments, because knowing, like, it's weird to have your art part of the canon of that world.
Yes, yeah.
And then watch it, like, because I started watching them, they were probably, you know, live for close to a year when I was introduced to them. So, and then I really got into them, and I, you know, caught up, and it took me about, I don't know, 2 months or whatever to get caught up on on a year's worth, because I binged it.
Yeah, I binged it. Yeah, I did maybe the same thing. I found them around like Thordak when he first showed up.
Oh, yeah.
And then I just binged the crap out of it and started doing stuff.
Yeah. And then it's like, you know, being able to talk to them and everything on Twitter, and it's very personable, and you know,
it was much more like close to them.
Exactly. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Kickstarter happened, and that was the beginning of everything just like changing, and not in a bad way. Like I am so ecstatic for them, because as an artist who wants that's our goal. You get to own your art, you know, and I know that a lot of people don't quite understand, but they are artists, they're creatives, and they get to completely fucking own.
Like when you're an actor, you'll never really own anything.
Right. I had Matt on here and I said the same thing to him. I was like, you know, that's mind blowing to like, you can't own your characters. You can't own any of the work that you've done. Yeah. Whereas now you can, and that's, you know, hold on to that as tightly as humanly fucking possible.
Yeah.
You know, that's your baby.
Yeah, no, I've been like kind of experiencing this, it's not quite the same, but it's similar with, I also have done a lot of art for like fan art, and I got to work with them on one project for Brandon Sanderson. I don't know if you know his books. He's like a fantasy writer.
Right.
And what he's doing with his books is like, he has these big series, right? When you think fantasy, you think like Lord of the Rings, like Wheel of Time, like those big 10 book series. He's doing that.
Right.
But he's doing like multiple series of those, and they're all like kind of interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the same universe. And what makes it like very different from like a lot of other authors is that like he owns everything. Like he has like, he publishes.
Right.
He has like ownership of a lot of his own rights. Like he doesn't deal with much with like publishers anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of the same. It's kind of the same thing where like he can do stuff that like nobody else can do because he owns it. Like he has control over the publishing of like, reselling and all the kind of stuff, merch. Like when you own something like that, you can do like a lot of stuff that just like studios will never do, because it's like studios never like take risks, right?
Right.
They want like the safest bet possible. That's how you get like the 20th Ghostbusters movie in theaters, like not anything new.
Yeah, as long as the last movie sold really well, they'll make another.
Yeah, so like they can do whatever. They can do like the EXU's little series. They can like make their own game now.
Yeah.
That's all like stuff that you can't do if you like are beholden to like a big studio or like a
Or even having to behold to any other investors.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like you know, I know that everyone's like, oh, you know, Amazon bought into the, you know, and I was like, yeah, that's, yes, but clearly.
Yeah, they bought into a part of it. They don't own the name, yeah.
Right. Clearly, it's limited because they're obviously not asking anyone's permission to do their own thing. And that's just fucking amazing. So yeah. I'm so proud of them. Oh, my God. But yeah, so yeah, Kickstarter kit went off and I was sitting there and I was just rooting it on as much as possible, and then
I remember showing my parents like, yeah, this started today, like it's 1,300,000, and it's like, they're like, what?
Yeah.
For the thing that you watch?
Right?
For, I was like, yeah.
For D&D? I don't, you know, that's what
I don't think my parents even know what D&D is yet, even though I've been playing it for like 5 years now.
Right. My mom sort of does. I mean, she knows it has something to do with like playing characters, but that's as far as it goes. She knows nothing else about it. And she's the most adorable old lady now. She's in like her 80s. Oh. And she's called me up and been like, oh my God. Did you sell your stuff to someone in like New Hampshire? And I'm like, Mom, I sell stuff worldwide. Sure. Yeah. And she's like, oh, well, you know, and then she'll tell me this whole story about how one of her friends saw some of my work. And I was like, then one of your friends has a D&D player at their house. Like, you know, my mom's like, oh, I don't know that part.
Yeah, no, it's like, that's like one of the best things about like the job. And let's say it's like, sometimes you just find your stuff like out there,
mm-hmm.
like in real, like, I think like a week or so ago, like someone tagged me. It was like, oh, the art belongs to this person. I was like, who is taking my art now? Because that's,
right.
That's the first thing to think about. But like, it was just like a tech YouTuber. Like showing off a new TV that they got.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh, like those TVs that look like a painting in your wall,
right?
And like the piece that they put up was like a Jinx piece that I made from like League of Legends.
Mm-hmm.
And like they weren't like just like they weren't like stealing it or anything. It was just the art that they chose,
right?
And it's like, oh, this is cool. Like a TV YouTuber from France is like using my art in their house, like in their wall.
This is
awesome. So cool. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I walked into a game store with a friend not too long ago and like had to stop, walk a couple feet back and then recognize my own art on packaging. I was like, what the fuck? You know,
this is so weird.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know that it's there. I know that it exists. I get messaged about everything, you know, that my artist.
But I never think it's real, right?
No. And then when you see it in real life, it's like, wait a minute, you know? And so my friend was an absolute dork about it and was taking pictures of it. I was like, we could just buy it. She's like, I'm not buying your own art. I was like, no, we can buy what it's packaged in. It's really adorable.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really weird.
Like I don't even know how this happens. It probably was because I was like in their roster because of Critical Role, but I landed somehow a card for Magic.
Yeah, probably because you do some amazing art. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, bitch! Please don't you dare.
And it's like about to release in like 9 days.
Uh huh.
And I'm like, yeah, people are gonna have this thing like.
Oh yeah!
Like there's a thing that you can get,
right? I did the cards for their Lord of the Rings, and I did maps, and I was just like, I don't know how to handle this. And the weird thing is that I didn't realize how many people I already knew that played Magic.
yeah, I've been discovering a lot of people too.
Right, I was just like, I mentioned it a couple of times on socials, but not to anyone of my friends or anything, because I don't know, I wasn't thinking. And then the reaction I got on release day, I had a friend of mine who had opened some ridiculous amount because they play, and they're like, oh my God, wait, why is there a card that looks like your art? And they know because I've done Middle Earth maps before. I have one that hangs in my house. Yeah, so that was a really odd moment too.
Yeah, it's a really like, it's really like one of the best parts of doing this.
Of doing what we do, yeah.
Do you get stuff out there?
I just love the fans. I just love the reactions, and also fuck you to everyone who didn't like my map cards. I don't care.
there's always people.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think that's one of the hardest things about working with such a visible IP.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, the more, like, the bigger it is, the more, like, hassles there is as well.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting. And there's also fanatic fans in every fandom.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah. I'm not close, but I regularly interact with some people that are like constantly in the zeitgeist there, like the front lines.
Yeah,
it's rough sometimes. Yeah,
after the first book was released with Wizards, man, my block button got a hell of a fucking workout.
Yeah, especially if you're a woman. Like, I do notice like a lot of my woman friends that work in this, like, get a lot more hate.
Yeah. And it's like, and the weird thing is, like, you would expect it to be them pointing out our gender all the time, but they don't. We just get more bullshit.
No, it's just more bullshit. It's like, they don't, like, they pretend that it's not about it.
Oh, yeah. I've had people literally switch tones when they find out that, because they assumed that I was a guy and that Devin was a male name. And then I'm talking, I was like, oh, by the way, I'm not a guy, but I mean, I don't really care, just, but for your future reference, while you're talking about how close we are as friends, I'm not a dude.
Yeah.
So, and then all of a sudden my maps are shit and they want to tell me everything is wrong, and like, yeah, no, okay. No.
Especially these games that are very old, there's always like those people that are like, oh, this is whatever the artists are doing now, like, it's not like the cool stuff that I used to consume back in my day.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
like, they use that as like an excuse,
right? Because nothing's allowed to evolve and not specifically cater to them.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'm 50, so like, I grew up having to deal with these assholes.
And people are like, I've got this like a lot with D&D specific.
Yeah,
it's like they're always like dropping names like, these guys, dragons, are like the best that ever existed, and you go look at them and it's like, oh man, sorry. Not... but
yeah,
This maybe was peak like 60 years ago, maybe.
Right. And you know, if I drew dragons like that, that's, I'm now stealing their work. So that's probably not a good idea.
Oh yeah, they're just a copycat.
Like, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I'll just do my thing.
Yep, that's one of the reasons I love that so many people that are coming to the industry are, and just playing the game, are so much younger. I'm like, yes, yeah. We can get past this bullshit.
Like, we were talking about this, and it's like, people that don't work in this area, like, they don't have any notion of what it's like to do work for these places, because like, they think that we just like make a thing and we just throw it at them and they're like, okay, and they just put it on the product. Like, if they're printing something, like, they know it's there, like, it's their intention for that to be there, like, they want it to be like that.
But they'll never, is crawled over.
But they'll never like criticize the name brand. Like, they'll never say like, oh, D&D is putting these people there. No, it's always like your fault for doing it to the brand. Somehow it's like, I don't have any power here, they just tell me what to do.
It's like the Magic the Gathering cards. Everyone's like, why are they all the same color? They told me that this is my palette. Yeah, like, I don't get a choice.
Like, we don't get any say besides like rendering the thing that they ask for. But
right, they literally give you a palette, they tell you, like, they give you what they want for, like, color schemes and line work and, you know, and everything. I'm like, no, that, like, and also, I don't want to be mean, but it's a map of grass and trees. It's green.
There's only so many ways I can do this.
Right. At least there are different shades of green. I don't know what else to tell you. But
like, yeah.
They wouldn't let me make them funky colors. I tried.
Like the process never crosses anyone's mind. Like it's like I get it. Like I didn't like before I started doing this. I didn't know as well. Like I didn't know either. But
well, the other thing is that we're more accessible than the people that are doing the projects because we're out there promoting our art and everything. Yeah. And they're like, okay, well then I'll complain to you because I don't know anyone else who works at Wizards that I can actually fucking yell at. That's nice. Thanks.
Yeah, it comes with a job.
Yep. Yep. Oh, that's that could be a whole few episodes of the oh god, trying to there's no way to prepare yourself. I was going to say something like, you know, preparing yourself for dealing with people, but there's nothing because I've had people come up to me and I think I'm ready to have those conversations. And then they come up and say the strangest shit to me. And I'm like,
yeah,
wow, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, no, the way I prepared myself was I got attacked a lot. And that's, that's... you learn how to deal with that.
Yeah. You just get attacked in different ways.
Yeah. Like, once I learned that, like, me as just, like, a little guy doing artwork, like, just fan art. Like having like 8,000 followers was like that was like enough for people to like form a group organized to hate on me. I was this is how it is, huh? Okay, like that's how you get prepared.
Well before my name was popping up in the space, man, let me tell you, I got flat out told Wizards would never hire quote unquote an artist like me, because I don't know if that just meant female, considering where it was coming from. I'm pretty sure that was it, but like I was flat out told like that my maps were absolutely hideous and that, you know, they don't like the high fantasy style. I got some of my favorite complaints out of it, and it just like spurs me on. I made a joke. I'm going to have a friend of mine embroider them for me.
Yeah. I know someone that streams on Twitch. I think someone just called them. Like they do like challenge runs of like Elden Ring and stuff, like very hard games.
Right.
Like she's like really good at it, and she does like challenge runs and like speed runs and stuff. And someone just said like you're a talentless female gamer, and she just got like she made stickers and shirts out of that shit.
Yep. Oh yeah.
It's like, yeah, thanks for the content, bitch.
Right, exactly. You know what you did? You gave me an awesome starting point for all conversations going in the future when someone's gonna be like, why do you have stickers that say this?
Yeah, no, I love taking some like weird shit that people throw at me and just like sharing everywhere so just we can have a good laugh.
Yep. That is actually one of the reasons why I made the logo for my name and everything the way I did, but also why it goes on every goddamn thing I put on the internet. Because one of the complaints was, I see her name everywhere and I can't fucking escape it. Oh, you think so? Oh, you wait. And this was before I got really well known. So it's just like, oh.
Yeah. That's when you make like a custom brush with your name written on it and just make a full map of it. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually my other one was just because you can put a map on it doesn't mean you should. And they were bitching about some merch that I had made and I put maps on it. So now I put maps on everything. If you go to my website, you'll find them on shoes, yoga pants, bags, water bottle.
I mean, they look good.
Right? That's what I'm saying. I mean, and they sell. I did it as a joke, and it actually took off. So I was like, "Hey, I'm here for it," you know.
Yeah, that's about the way we get prepared for this kind of market. I know some people that like are really starting out right now, and then when something big happens, they kick the bucket, and they, and like that's not how you do it. Like,
yeah,
our industry is like tiny. You don't like you don't get anywhere by just like making a storm out of it,
right?
In some other places maybe, but in this one,
I don't I don't think so. Like, because I've been doing art since pretty much in my teens, and I've been in other art industries. And honestly, no matter where you go or what you do, somebody's, like, numerous people, not even like one person, numerous people are going to have issue with whatever it is you're doing.
Yeah.
Because there's no way to please everybody. Like, keep doing you, boo, because somebody out there is going to love it. And that's all that matters. Like, kick with the people that love what you do and block everyone else, because honestly, it is not worth it.
No, yeah, no. You end up, like, going crazy if you, like, actually give a peace of mind to, like, every little thing.
I mean, unless you are one of those people that genuinely enjoy going back and forth with trolls.
I enjoy trolling people sometimes. Right. Counter troll people. Like, I do enjoy that some days.
There's times where I absolutely fucking answer my trolls and I'm like, hey.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't, but I also, like, it all depends on my time. Like, if I don't have the schedule, which is now currently what it is, because tarot deck. So how are you doing work-wise right now?
Like, the personal stuff, the personal, private clients, all that kind of stuff is going pretty solid. Nothing crazy. Industry work, though, I have kind of fallen out of it for reasons we talked about already, but... Also, it's like it's been like the last year or so, it's become like really hard, yeah, just to like get in anywhere. There's some, like, so many reasons to choose, like so many layoffs, and there's like the market is just so full of like talent right now, and all the inescapable AI stuff. So it's just like really hard to like actually get something. Yeah, like the only people I know that are like regularly work. Do like regular work for companies are people that are like were already like regulars,
right?
Which I never was a regular. Like I've done some stuff, but it's just like occasional,
right?
I haven't ever like been in the main roster for anything, but yeah. At least the other side is going pretty good. I've kind of also like. I used to do, like, the Critical Role stuff was, like, a big part of what I did for a good few years there. But I started also, like, trying to do a bit more of my own stuff and try to, like make, I wouldn't say, like, making a name for myself, but, like, actually, like, doing my own thing.
Right.
And trying to grow that, which is hard. It's pretty hard to, like, get a solid thing going for you.
Yes.
Because like people, like when people already know you for a thing, it's very hard to like shift to anything else.
Yeah.
They already like want that thing. And I've noticed that because like I like to experiment a lot. Like if you follow me anywhere, I do like all kinds of stuff. I don't like stagnating and doing like the same style or the same subject all over.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
There's like, just so many fucking trees you can draw before you just want to choke the living shit out of something.
Yeah. I just like physically can't. I just automatically my body just starts doing something else.
Right.
And it's kind of hard to like establish yourself, because like it or not. One way of like getting big online is like doing the same thing forever.
Yes.
And that's just not quite what I can do.
Yeah.
But I do find a lot of enjoyment out of like experimenting and like getting new people interested in like different styles. And I just have fun doing it too. Like I hear from some of my friends that like do a lot of like regular company work, and it's like I haven't drawn anything for myself in the last 2 months. I'm like, I cannot do that.
Right.
I cannot do that to a point where like if I like even if I have a deadline, I will still do something, or I will go insane.
Yeah, I
kind of just embrace that.
I can't. I don't know. So it depends. Like, the great thing about maps, I mean, even though technically you're drawing, like, the same symbology, excuse me, or iconography all over them, they are still different. So, but I really like the world building and the stories and stuff behind them. So I think that that kind of keeps me entertained. But, like, that's as far as it goes. Like, I had somebody the other day, because I started doing illustrations. Oh, no, I didn't start doing. I started showing them, I should say. Mm-hmm. And I had someone else like, well, I didn't know that you were an illustrator. I was like, yeah, I know. Nobody does. It's because all I do is draw maps, and that's all anyone knows me for. And that's fine, but, you know. I actually go out of my way every day to draw something. I don't technically share it online because it's just for me, but I draw every day, so I'm not stuck just drawing maps and feeling like, all right, I'm done, you know?
Yeah, it's good for the brain to spice it up a little bit every now and then. And, like, I've started, like, coding more of it, just, like, posting it and, like, just being more, like, this is a place where I put my stuff. Like, you might like it or might not like it. I'm going to put it here. Just because it's, like, good for my mental health.
Yeah.
And, like, I've started paying a lot more attention to that kind of stuff. Too. Like, just letting myself do more stuff. Like, I've, like, over the past, like, few years, I have done, like, a lot of just, like, little mental health care, therapy, all that kind of stuff. And I've become I've changed a bunch, like at a personal level, just become like a person that values different things.
Right.
I've become like very like sex positive and like very aware of like gender and all that kind of stuff. So I started like, it's stuff that like I always wanted to put in my art and I never did.
Mm-hmm.
And I've started just putting it there and like making stuff that's related to that and like more personal just for me. And I've seen like, even if I haven't like, it hasn't like massively like made me more successful, let's say, I think it has changed the crowd around my work and around me that is like a lot healthier. Lots of like people that I like personally like have values in common with, let's say.
Right.
So like it's a good crowd that I've gathered. Which I think it's like a pretty good thing to have. Like we were saying, like it's very easy to get hate. So like one way you can like block that out is to have like enough good people and people that are like on the same wavelength as you gather around you. So like there's no space for like all the bad stuff to breed, right?
Right.
In that sense, like I do see that I get like a lot less of the bad stuff than I used to. Sometimes like, there's even like a lot of drama going on and I'm not even be aware of it because the circle around me is just like not paying attention to that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, same here. I absolutely believe in curating your online space. The people that I interact with offline because I mean technically it's still online, but not on social medias necessarily. Same thing. Like it's, I think that there's no way to feel like, I don't think there's a way to live online with things like Twitter and everything else and have all of your conversations on there and not get absolutely discouraged. And you can't be in a good headspace with that. There's no way.
Yeah, no. And like the only way I found out was literally to like, surround myself with as many people as possible that like don't propagate that stuff, right? But that's a hard thing to do. It's like it's not something that you can control a lot.
Right.
All you can do is like nudge it every now and again, and you have to do it for long enough that like people catch on, and like the people that don't like what you like just leave. But like that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen quick, and it doesn't happen if you already have like a place that is like not good.
Yeah. Exactly. I had somebody join my Discord not too long ago, and in a very short amount of time, they realized, like, one, you're not allowed to talk to me like we're best friends because you don't fucking know me.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's, certain things that you need to abide by. I don't care how And especially because my Discord is such a friendly place and where people will talk to me because I end up knowing them and become friends with them. This person just like jumped in and was like, hey, how you doing, Dev? I'm like, my name isn't Dev. Please don't call me that. Or else I would be known online as that, and I'm not. So Devin it is. And which is common, you know, as a matter of fact, literally the same week someone else had done it. But like this person was like, yeah, you know, I think that they had joined and thought I was somebody else. You know, like, I think that they thought I was a smaller creator and like they felt the need to let me know like what they think of my work and how I can improve it.
Yeah, people just started like
yeah, I was like, you're in the wrong spot. Thank you, though. Thoughts appreciated. And I'm going to say this for anyone who is listening. Not that other people's opinions don't matter, because everyone's feedback on your work is great. But if somebody else isn't knowledgeable in what you do, their feedback is extremely limiting.
I am... Oh my god, I hate that stuff so much. I will say all day, like, if you, like, please, if I didn't ask, like, I don't give a shit about your opinion. Like, please don't give it to me. Yes. I'll just throw it away. Like, fuck you. I didn't ask.
Oh, yeah. Like, unsolicited? Like, fuck that shit.
And, like, people... Oh, my God. People, this is a thing that I have been fucked up about ever since I started drawing. It's like, people just... And it's not even the people saying, because, like, I understand, right? Sometimes you just want to say a thing, and you say it, and it's okay. Everyone is, like, dumb a few times. But, like, if you complain about it, people will, like... But, bro, you have to accept everything, because it is going to make your work better. And, like, that's what it is, though. It's not.
Right.
Like, wrong feedback is a thing. Like,
absolutely.
I shouldn't just get shit from just anyone that passes by and like live my life and like alter my work to fit that guy. It's like, right. What are your credentials? Like, what have you done?
I have literally asked people, it's like, oh, that's awesome. Can you show me your map so I have a good example? Oh, what? You don't make maps? Guess what then?
It's like, yeah. And like everyone is an art critic, right? It's like,
right.
Like, you haven't studied this. Like, sure, you don't need to be an artist to know what good art looks like. But, like, you're not going to convince me over a tweet that you are, like, an art expert. Like, sorry.
Even if someone is, art is so subjective. And it really does depend on who connects with
why. I've paid for feedback before that has been useless. I have paid for it.
I know quite a few art students who absolutely would...
Like, I did it, like, last year. I paid for it. It was so bad that, like, I almost, like, seriously, like, I almost, like, just stopped drawing that month. It was so bad.
Oh.
And it was, like, I showed all of my other friends, and they were like, this is wild. Like, what the fuck are they saying?
Yeah, see, that's one of the problems I have with people that, I'm not saying like everybody who offers tutorials or instructions or mentorship is.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, not every artist is a good like critic.
Right.
Like, it's like the same thing. Like, not every physicist is a good teacher of physics. It's like, right. Yeah, you need to get someone that is good at that thing. It's like good at giving critique and like actually has the knowledge.
Right. And the important thing is understanding the difference between an opinion and a critique. You can't tell me that something doesn't look good or whatever if what you say to follow it up is basically your opinion. I don't like, or this doesn't look right to me, or no. If you want to offer a critique, you need to offer it in a manner that makes sense. Like, not your opinion of I don't like this shade of blue. Awesome.
I often see people like thinking that like someone says like, oh, this is cool, but like you should like change how like this armor looks because it doesn't go with the time period or whatever. It's like, that is not critique, because like they told me to do. Like I have here the reference that they asked me to do. Like I did what I was paid to do. Like I can't just like say no.
What the absolute fuck, like, people?
Yeah, people think like anything is critique, and if you ever complain about any critique, like you were the wrong one. It's like, no, I will let people critique me that are actually good, thanks, that I trust.
Right.
Like I don't remember who said this, but it was on an art podcast somewhere, and he said like don't take art critique from someone you wouldn't like take life advice from.
Right.
Because like those people have your best interests at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And like someone else, maybe like, even if their critique is good, maybe like their intention is just to do something that they like more, not that it's actually better. Right. So, yeah, I don't like take critique from just anyone anymore for quite a while.
Most of the critiques I've gotten ever, especially since my name got out there, has pretty much just been like, oh, I don't like this. Well, that's good. I don't care.
Yeah, no, that's just, yeah.
I have a question. Like, good
thing that other artists exist that you can go and consume.
Right? I mean, that's a huge thing with me. The amount of people that have come up to me and asked me to draw like a sci-fi map. And I was like, have you seen my style? Like it's it is high fantasy. And not to say that I can't draw sci-fi, but why would you go? Like, if this is, like, a really big thing for you, I don't know, maybe go to an artist whose art already kind of looks like what you're looking for, and then be like, hey, can you make this? It is really weird how many people come to me just because of my name.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I get that, because, like, they want something from you, but, like, maybe they don't have a thing that fits. But, right. Yeah, it's like, I'll do it, but I can't guarantee you that it's going to be good as the other stuff. Like, because right. Like, it's not something I know. So, as long as they're aware of that, then sure.
Right. I'm always like, just so you know, that doesn't. And most of the time, I actually turn those down because I'm like, listen, I have a great cartographer for you. They already do Wi-Fi. Here's their name. Here's their contact. By all means, let them know I've sent you. I just really don't get into doing a lot of sci-fi maps.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, it's not my thing. Hire someone whose thing it is, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, you know, like, I have had people, like, just obsess over working with me because of my name. And I'm like, please don't do that. Like, I get it. I know that you think that my name's going to carry some weight for your whatever, Kickstarter or whatever. But, like, not the way you think it is. Like, it's not like I'm gonna bring the entire Critter fandom with me.
Yeah, no, that doesn't happen.
No. No, it really doesn't.
Yeah, no. I've seen like full-on games being like, oh, we have like this actor playing in it, and it's like nobody cares.
Nope.
Like, just make your thing good,
right? You know, so especially in the tabletop space, like, yes, the names might get looks on it, but it won't. It doesn't come with a whole fandom. I mean, that would be really cool if it did, but it doesn't.
Yeah, no. Like having a bit of boundaries is good. Like, one thing that I don't do anymore, because I've done a few times and like it just didn't feel great, is doing like actual people portraits, like from just real life people.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know. No, like, yep. I don't feel comfortable. It's like, if something goes wrong, then you're like gonna be too attached to this.
Yep.
It's like,
it's no, so nerve-wracking.
Like, no. yeah it's like, I don't want to be responsible for your wedding thing,
right?
And like I've done a couple of those, and like when I was like very like starting my thing, and it's like, that was a choice. I wouldn't go to me back then done it this, but
I've had several people ask me to make wedding invitations for them, and I'm like, I'm not a graphic designer, why would you
yeah
And they're like, oh, well, we want a map on it. It's like, I don't think you want the same kind of map that I have. Like, how about no?
Sorry, but no.
Yeah, I mean, it's sweet. I really appreciate where you're coming from, but also at the same time, no. As always, our show is sponsored by Legend Keeper, a fantastic world-building tool, whether you're a writer, a GM, DM, or even a player. You can create a world, you can add all of your notes, you can determine who gets to see them, edit them, create their own. And if you own a project, you are the only person who has to have a subscription, so you can bring your players in for free, or your readers, or your patrons. You can determine who can edit, who can see, who can view secrets. And there are so many really interesting tools on Legend Keeper that allow you to link pages, maps, images, sidebars, timelines, calendars, like you name it. There is so much about Legend Keeper that is so simple and yet incredibly effective. Do you have a Patreon?
I do.
I'm asking because with everything you've mentioned, you haven't. I don't know if your Patreon allows people access to your archives, or if like you do things every month, or how does that work? Because you didn't mention that in all the work you do.
Yeah. So my Patreon is like a very casual thing. I don't offer like anything that I don't show like in public.
Right.
But I do make it very clear. Like I do put it there. That is more like if you want me to keep working and not starve, right. Please feel free to be here. I do have like a more adult side that I also do. It's one of the things that I like started doing a few years ago. And I like I don't do commissions. I just do stuff that I like. Right. And I try to keep it more like a little bit more highbrow stuff, but it's just stuff that I enjoy doing. And it goes for like a little bit more. But it's been like a great little support, like at the end of the month, to have like the little bit extra, and it does go a long way for me to just like be okay, like picking work that I like, and not having to like just bend over backwards to to take in work.
Oh yeah, same.
But almost you do get to see like all the past stuff that I've done, which I know sometimes is difficult to find. Even though, even because nowadays, like every social media is dying, so people keep like jumping off from places and like, oh, I can't go to your Twitter anymore. I can't go to your Instagram anymore. So like, if you're in the Patreon, like there's all the old stuff that I've been doing for 2019, right. Maybe.
People ask me about what to do for the Patreon, or the Patreon doesn't work for me. I can't keep up with everything. And I'm like, stop promising to do stuff.
No. I've done the thing that I've like I promise to like I'm gonna do one of these things every month. It's like it just doesn't happen. It's too much to juggle on top of work. If you do only Patreon, sure. If that works good for you, then go ahead. But yeah, it's like what we call like feature creep. You keep promising stuff and then you can't deliver.
Exactly, and it's so stressful for us. And
it is, yeah.
And then you don't even want to address it because then you feel bad that you're making them aware that you know that you haven't lived up to your obligations. And it's just
like every post you do is like, sorry, I haven't done this.
Right.
And it's like people start leaving just because it's annoying.
Oh yeah. Oh man. Let me tell you. And people leaving because you post too much is an actual thing.
It is, yeah. I mean, I've left people that just post way too much. I'm like, no, I post like a few things a month. If you wanna see the boobies, it's there. If you don't, I also post them somewhere else. You're just gonna have to look a little hard to find.
I used to post almost every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen. I have a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, like, I specifically say, like, I will never be offended if somebody turns off notifications for my Patreon. Yeah. Because you are, I easily post several times a month, and there are months where I barely post anything. Like, there'll be like at best mm-hmm. like two or three posts, but I post a lot, and I would say I'm sorry, but I'm not. I do a lot, you know?
Yeah.
Plus, you know, all of the, like, I warn people.
I do. So yeah, that's why I just say, like, outright, like, I'll put like the stuff that I do for myself here. I do a lot of it, and I can do it because this is up.
Right.
Because then I have time. Like, I don't need to like work 20 hours a day, every day, just doing work for other people. I can afford myself a little some.
Yeah.
And that's what I put there. So it's very casual, very chill.
That's something I think that non-artists forget a lot, is that most of the time, a lot of us are doing art that we can't show. And in order to keep up with stuff like Patreon, or just have stuff on our socials, we're like doing incredible hours.
Yeah.
Just trying to keep up with everything and make sure that we have constant new and fresh stuff, because apparently someone will notice if you post an old picture.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Like on Twitter, on Instagram, like, I'm shameless. I've just repost shit all day.
Right.
Yeah, but not on the Patreon. I just keep it chill there.
Have you found a good home on a social platform yet?
I mean, it used to be Twitter.
Right.
It used to be the place that was least bad. Nowadays, it's I've been clinging on there. I do have another place on Blue Sky. It does seem a lot more chill.
Right.
But yeah, I still rely a lot on Twitter for work. Like, it's where people know me, where stuff is. It's where, for better or for worse, is where people are.
Yep.
So, well, while it's still working, I'll be there.
Mm-hmm. I unfortunately am absolutely going down with that ship.
Yep. Yeah, I cannot afford to jump off.
No, as much as I would love to. And it's kind of gotten to the point now where I have like a curated list, and I pretty much only go there, and I don't click any links like on trending or anything.
I use like a Chrome extension that lets you like edit your entire Twitter. So like my Twitter is like highly curated, customized.
Right. Same.
Yeah. Because otherwise, it's just crazy.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And it's way too much and overwhelming. And then I just don't want to ever be on there ever.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm actually quite liking Blue Sky. It and Threads are probably the only two that have popped up that I'm like, it's not too bad.
Yeah, I kind of gave up on Threads on the first day. I don't know how that shit works.
Yeah, it's the only reason I like it is because it's essentially supposed to be like a oh god, what is that word I'm looking for? It's supposed to help Instagram, because you can't just make posts without pictures. And I'm like, and the other thing is, like, for whatever reason, I get like very little comments ever on Instagram. And I don't think anybody really does, comparatively, like how you do on other social platforms. And I think that's why they made Threads, because it's like, oh, nobody's commenting. It's like, no, we're just scrolling through, clicking the heart button and moving on.
Weird that you comment on Instagram. It's like, I don't know. It feels weird.
The weird thing is, like, it's hard to read other people's comments.
It's hard to find comments. It's hard to read them. It's like hard to make them. And like, the only people that like just get tons are like, I don't know, models and shit.
Well, yeah.
and it's just people simping. It's like, fine, I'm a simp too. I don't shame it, but like that's the only thing going on there.
That's one of the reasons I was like, all right, I'll try Threads. And it's not, I still like Blue Sky better, but Threads is sort of there. And because it does have a little bit more backing, I'm like, well, I'm just copying and pasting everything from one social media to the other.
Yeah. Look, It's a note post that I love that we are like freelance artists, like in name, but like we do marketing, we do like accounts, we do
everything.
We are the janitor. We are everyone in the company.
I'm not only the CEO, but I'm also the custodian.
I'm the cook. I'm everything.
Right? I'm the cook. I'm the butler. I'm the gardener. Babysitter. Yeah, everything. And I think that that's like, even when at one point I hired an assistant because things were just all over the place. And the industry is shifting. There's a lot changing since we're getting back to, I don't want to say because the pandemic is not over, but since more people are getting back to work and life pre-pandemic, the shift in the industry is changing again. And what happened is when we originally went into the pandemic and a bunch of people in our tiny, tiny industry realize like, oh, they could make stuff for it and blah, blah, blah. And 4 years of people literally doing this full time because they can't go back to work and trying to make a living out of it and then quitting their jobs. And now that, you know, that industry shift is changing again, there's a bunch of people going, but I'm not making any money. I can't keep doing this. And I'm watching so many people close their doors and shut their companies down or stop, you know, posting as much. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, but like this happens in waves a lot.
The start of last year, like end of 22 start of 23 was really, really rough. It's like real, real rough because it was like everyone like dooming that we were gonna all lose our jobs because of Twitter was dying. And then the start of the 23, like the AI really started like going off.
Yep.
And like it was like a lot of like doom and gloom about it, and it was just rough, like very rough. It's like mentally and like physically, it's just like, am I gonna be working with this still? Should I be looking for like some other stuff to do?
Right.
It was like tough.
Oh yeah, same. And I have always advised to, one, make sure that you have some form or several forms of passive income, stuff that you do once and then you put it up somewhere and walk away. But also don't pigeonhole yourself into one industry. It's especially a really tiny one. Especially one that is primarily dominated by a corporate overlord who doesn't give a shit about anybody but their bottom line.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's kind of why I started just doing my own stuff.
Yep.
And like not relying, because like even if I love D&D and Critical Role and stuff, like those things can just not exist anymore one day.
Right.
And Twitter cannot exist anymore one day. So it was like a reality shock for like a lot of people that was like in the same situation.
Yeah.
The best year is specifically for both like sex work and just like adjacent stuff. Like let's say you do adult art, like I do a bit. But like I know people that like that's their whole thing.
Right.
The last year was like absolutely devastating because like everything shuts it off. Like
yes,
like all like social medias and like places that people used to work in are like, we don't accept this anymore. We're just gonna put like restriction after restriction on this.
Right. And they don't even let you like talk about the sites that you do, like the amount of things that can't mention OnlyFans in a post.
No, you can't advertise anything anywhere. So people keep having to like move and like find other ways to like advertise themselves. It's like things have like been real rough this past few years. I feel like before it was kind of stable. Like it wasn't perfect, but it was like you could do it and like you weren't like fearing next week. Because like right now it's like, what the fuck is gonna happen next week? I don't know. All the past weeks have been bad. Something bad happened.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck's gonna happen this week?
Well, I mean, it does ebb and flow.
It does, yeah.
You know, I mean, I can honestly say, having I come from pre-internet times.
Oh, me too.
You know, it's it definitely changes, you know. And again, we're learning how to have a global language. We're learning how to have a global community and society. And because of it, you know, there's a lot of lockdown of things and a lot of changes. But eventually, especially once we get the boomers out of the fucking offices, hopefully that'll change a little bit and we'll get a little bit less anal retentive.
Yep. Just a tiny little less prudish.
Right.
Just tiny little bit.
Just unclench the ass cheeks just a little bit more.
And then it's like it ebbs and flows because like it's people trying to ban shit that they consume and they just want to look good.
Right.
And like it's just like a bunch of like people being cowards is what it is.
Pretty much, you know, the amount of people that absolutely consume, we'll say, not safe for work materials.
Mm.
And yet
every year, like you can go like Pornhub does like a big like gathering of information like every year. And they post like a map of right. the U.S. with like yeah. all the biggest, the highest search terms. And it's always like the worst states like have the most fetishy stuff. Always. Every year.
But, you know, we're supposed to believe that, you know, that we don't want to see that.
No, everyone's a saint.
Absolutely. Everyone's a saint. We're all very chaste.
Yeah. Your parents never banged.
Right. Oh, no. My parents didn't conceive me through sex. Are you kidding me?
No.
I'm pure. No, no, no.
Everyone you know was immaculate concepted.
Absolutely.
Just arrived someday in the mail.
Yeah. I personally hatched from an egg. A very large egg, but it was an egg. Yeah.
Love it. I love it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but honestly, man, my worst day doing this beats my best day doing anything else.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I was watching this today. It's the one author that I talked to about, Brandon, mm-hmm. and he's also like, yeah, we did all this to like build this company because like I have this thing I call the Phantom Cubicle that is always chasing me in my dreams. Uh-huh. It's like I'm always trying to escape it. It's like that's how I work, Chuse. Like I could not. Like I would become Gollum if I started working in an office, I think.